Warning, do not listen to this podcast if hearing about freedom and liberty is not legal for you in your community. And if so, you should immediately move to a hipper community.
Welcome to the Freedom Fiends Podcast, a weekly web lab where Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati cover the punk rockinist, hip-hopinist current events, as well as timeless universal truths about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, because there's no such thing as half-free. The Freedom Fiends Podcast, available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Freedom Fiends is proudly syndicated by Alterati.com, the Liberty Radio Network, and No Agenda Global Radio.
Welcome to the Freedom Fiends Distance Learning Anarchy Series with Freedom Fiends Michael W. Dean.
Broadcasting from my windowless bunker.
And Nima Vedati.
Go, go, Freedom Fiends!
Nima Fiend. Nima Fiend.
Yeah.
Nima Fiend.
What's up? Yeah.
Boy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What a day.
Yeah. The name of this episode is Potus Interruptus.
Sure is.
Because we got interrupted today. And you saw a side of me you don't usually see, huh?
The only other time I've heard you exclaim the F word that loud was when I shot that plate from 380 yards away. On the second try.
But that was happy. That was a happy fuck.
It was. But it was the only... It was a genuine and loud fuck. Just as genuine and loud as that fuck you exclaimed about an hour ago.
To you. In
to
anger.
To me.
Yeah.
In anger.
I know. Okay.
Do you want to recreate it?
Fiend listening audience going, oh no, is there trouble in Lib Paradise? Oh no. Are the fiends not long for this world as a unit? Don't worry, gentle listeners. It's gonna be great. Nima's got a great story to tell. I'm gonna yell at him and recreate it. Because conflict is the essence of drama. So, and then we're going to kiss and make up. I'm gonna give him a big sloppy hug and tell him how much I love him. And then we're gonna talk about. I'm gonna do a TV review of something Nima's never seen. Tremé.
Well, I did just see a clip.
Did you like that clip?
Yeah, that guy's awesome.
The Indians, the Indian costumes.
I totally want to be a
real
black
thing.
Indian now.
That's a real thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Worms. You know, the song Iko Iko is about that tradition. You know the song?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
My spy boy and your spy boy were sitting by the fire.
I always found that
My
song
spy
super
boy
weird.
Said to your spy boy, I'm going to set your flag on fire. Talking about hey now, hey now. Well, part of it's in like... No one knows what language it is. It's probably West African derivation, but no one knows. And
yeah.
Then part of it is about the battles the people in the Indian costumes used to have in New Orleans. It's like it's this really manly thing where like manly dudes spend a year like sewing bangles onto costumes and making costumes. And then they go out in the streets, and when the crews run into each other, they challenge each other, and they used to stab each other and shoot each other, and now they just do a dance and like they look like giant fluffy gay roosters.
Well, yeah,
strutting.
They're like Indian headdresses times or to the power of 10.
Yeah,
they're,
it's like if you took an Indian headdress and expanded it to 6 feet wide and 9 feet tall, and it was a costume.
Yeah,
it's pretty awesome, man. I'll embed that video from Tremé. Tremé is I can't speak enough about this. I know a lot of times I get really excited about stuff and watch all of it in 2 days, but this is the shit. This show is the shit, and we're going to talk about it later. You know, that's all Nima's seen of it. Yeah. But we got an agenda today because Nima's been beaten by the state.
Agenda.
Yeah, the state stole time from the fiends today.
The state beat me up mercilessly all day long.
Are you done being beaten up?
No.
Okay. Well, I'll just steal some time from you and go like look at, you know, pictures from Tremé while you tell your story of what happened.
No,
today.
You can be here. You can be here.
No,
this is a conversation.
I'm here. You know you can't keep me out of it. I'm just saying like,
yeah.
You know, I actually was thinking like I could have just called you and said, no, you record the podcast. It's all you. But then I thought of things to expand it and find the lessons in it. And then I want to review Tremé.
Good.
Tremé.
Yeah. Trimming. I don't know if I have any lessons yet, but I do have questions.
I'll tell you what your lessons are.
All right.
That'll be the part where I yell at you. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
All right. So go ahead.
My first question is whose ass could I kick? And I guess the answer is no one's. And that's what's so upsetting.
Well, in a lot of ways, fighting the government is, you know, or complaining to the government or bringing your complaints to the government is about
doesn't
as effective
anything.
As walking up to a skyscraper and kicking it and running away, you know.
Well, I guess if the goal is to make you feel good, then yeah,
that could
maybe.
Work. That could work. Yeah. I want to say, too, I'm suffering for my art today.
Yeah, you got some back pains.
I got a bad pinched back. It's not painful. But it's that kind of backache where it's like, I cannot get comfortable lying in any position, sitting up, standing, whatever.
Yeah.
It's actually one reason I wanted to go ahead and cast today instead of tomorrow. And well, which would have like, we have a busy plate this week. We have like four things we're doing this week. I wanted to knock this out, but I've been wanting to knock it out since 9 a.m. and it's 6:45 p.m. now. I got up early. I'm not enough sleep. Second day in a row. Cranky back. Can't get comfortable. And Nima's like, well, I'm in the middle of being raped by the state. And I called you about 10 times throughout the day, and you wanted to do it tomorrow. And finally, I was like, no, we're going to do it right. Fuck you. Okay.
Well, don't blow your load yet.
You know, I'm feeling good now. I'm feeling good.
Chronological order, man.
I know. I'm probably not even going to yell at you. I think I got it all out of me. I'm feeling pretty good. So,
okay.
What happened to you today?
Well, okay. So here's the scenario, right? We have not yet gotten our cars up to date. You know, we've got two cars. My car specifically, it was important to do finally today. We've tried going to the DMV, or actually here they call it the DPS, three times since we've been in town. Each time it's like the last time, for instance, there was no place to park. Literally, the parking lot was overflowing. There's no place in all the side streets, nothing, nope, no parking. So today I finally got to the point where, you know, you have to do it, which is usually how it ends up, which I guess, you know, maybe that's partly my fault, is I postponed these state required actions until they're necessary for my life. And then I just get so angry that they're necessary to my life. And maybe that's part of the reason I hate the state so much, is because these tasks that might seem normal to some people, they really can ruin my life or get to a point where I feel like they're going to ruin my life. Today, I needed to get my car registered. I needed to get a driver's license because I've got a part-time job I want, and I've been offered it, and it's at night, so it doesn't interfere with the fiends, and it pays well, so it's going to be money in my pocket. And I need that money because I want to buy gear to make the fiends better and make my own stuff better. And so the guy told me, you know, okay, I understand you're new in town. You don't have your license, your plate, whatever. Just call me on Wednesday. You got 2 days to sort it out. Everything will be kosher by then. So I'm thinking, all right, yeah, no problem. You know, I got a set plan here. I can go do it. I know it's the state, but at least I've got all my ducks in my row. I got all the paperwork here, thinking everything's going to be gravy, right? I have my birth certificate because we looked on the website. We looked to see what was required. It said you had to have a birth certificate if you have an out-of-state license. I do have an out-of-state license. It's a Washington license. You know, all would have been fine if the Washington State people didn't destroy my Texas license. But when I got my license in Washington State, they destroyed my Texas license. So I go into there. I'm waiting at the DPS. I wait in line for about half an hour. Because at the Texas DPS, they have two lines. They have a line where you go and you talk to somebody, and then they give you a number. So you have to stand in line to get a number. And the information person who gives you your number also tells you if you're missing anything, he asks you what you need, and he tries to keep you from having to wait, you know, an extra hour and have to go home unfulfilled. So I get to him. He's nice enough, I guess. You know, that's the thing. That seems to be the central theme throughout this is the people who are crushing my spirit and my dreams, they're just doing their job. And I can't, I want to like say, okay, you're ruining me. I'm angry at you. But, you know, they're just being themselves. They're just nice people. It's not their fault. I know. In a sense, you know, you have to judge a man by his actions, and there is no, the state doesn't act, only men act. But at the same time, you know, I'm not going to punch this guy in the face. And even at this point, it wasn't that bad. So the guy tells me, okay, you're in the wrong place. In Texas, apparently, you got to have your car registered first. In order to get your car registered, you have to have a safety and admissions inspection. This is backwards from the way it's done in Washington, and I haven't done this stuff since, you know, in Washington. I didn't do it at all in Wyoming. I just said, forget about it. I don't need to do all this government paperwork. Texas, it doesn't work that way. So I'm like, all right, fine. I'll go get my inspection. Didn't think it was a big deal. You know, the car runs fine. I had a very nice tune-up done by a mechanic who I trust before I left Washington, because I knew I'd be driving around the country all summer. So I sunk some money into it, making sure that the car was running great. Runs great. It's got some cosmetic things, but I didn't think anything of them. So I drive to the place, do the inspection. Takes about an hour. And then they're like, oh, I say, how did it go? They say, oh, you failed. And I'm like, why? And so the guy doesn't know. He's like, oh, I don't know. The tech didn't give me the sheet. So they sort their thing out. It takes about 10 minutes to get me the tech who failed me. And the guy, I don't know. He seemed incompetent to me. I guess he's just doing his job too. But he says, here's why I failed you. And he points at my seatbelt, right? Here's the thing. There's a plastic end on the female part of the seatbelt, right? So that you have a male part, you have a strap that has a male part on it, and you plug that into the buckle, which I call the female part. the state of Texas does not like my car's lady parts being exposed. The female part of my seatbelt has to have a plastic cover on it. A plastic cover which I had removed 4 years earlier before I left Texas because it kept my seatbelt from working. The seatbelt would actually pop out.
So they want you to cripple your car in some way.
Well, the whole point of the regulation they wrote it was to keep your seatbelt on you, right? There's like, oh, well, your seatbelt doesn't function properly if you don't have this plastic cover on it. But no, the plastic cover was defective, and so I removed it. Because the plastic cover kept me from putting my seatbelt on. And in a lot of cases, you know, sometimes I don't wear my seatbelt in certain short trips. But in most cases, I feel like it's nice to have on. Makes you feel comfy. So I took it off so I could keep my seatbelt on. That's why I took it off. So I could be safe. And now the government is forcing this guy at one of these state inspection places. Is basically pointing a gun at his head, telling him not to let me get the pass the inspection, which means I don't get a job, which means he's taking food out of my mouth. You know, we're not in a dire situation here, right? I mean, this is basically just extra cash. I need to buy gear. So he's not really taking the food out of my mouth. He's taking the turntables out of my hands, which is still upsetting. I mean, I know it's not that bad, but it's the principle of the thing, you know? What if I was down to my last dollar, I had kids, and I had to feed them? And you're going to sit there and tell me because I don't have this piece of plastic, I don't get to have a job. And I know he doesn't think it through that far. And that's what makes me so angry, is these things that the state does to ruin your life, you can't really blame a single person for. I can't sit there and say, oh, well, it's all your fault. You're evil. You're taking food out of my plate to the tech. I mean, if he, like he explained, you know, because I told him, you know, this is BS. I cussed a little bit and I said, yeah, I'm not necessarily angry at you. I just think this is freaking ridiculous. And he's like, yeah, well, you know, the thing is, if you got pulled over the next day and the cops saw your seatbelt, they'd come to me and I'd get fired. So he loses his job if he does the common sense thing and pass a perfectly good car and let me go on and get my registration and get my license. So I had to spend all day. Literally, it took all day. So I woke up early today, you know, way earlier than I usually wake up. I was at the DMV at 10 a.m. I tried to get there at 8, but, you know, I made myself a nice little breakfast, whatever. Didn't think it'd be that big of a deal. But from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., I was working on this. I went to – because nobody sells a plastic cover, just a plastic cover for the female end of your seatbelt. Nobody does that. So I went to three different auto parts places. None of them had what I needed. They all had this seatbelt extender, which we were talking about. And they all thought this was ridiculous, too. You know, I was explaining my situation, bitching at it. And they're like, yeah, that freaking government. They're ridiculous. All they had was these extenders that didn't really fit my car. I didn't really feel like replacing the whole seatbelt, especially on two, because this is on the driver's side and the passenger side. And I wanted to get it done today. So I'm like, well, I'm not going to take out the seats and replace the whole seatbelt. So then I call this other place and they have the whole unit, the whole female end plus the rod that connects it to the seat. But then you have to take the seat out. Plus it was $45 a pop. So I'm going to have to pay $100 and spend. I've never taken the front bucket seats out of a car before. I don't know how to do it. That's going to be more than a day's work for me possibly. So don't do that. I have to drive all the way out of town. almost to Bastrop, you know, where they had all the wildfires outside of Austin, to a junkyard to find it. Finally find it. The junkyard was amazing. That was the bright point of the day. You know, that's the wonders of commerce. One man's trash becomes another man's treasure. You know, I went out there. They just say, hey, go look at a car, grab whatever you want off of it, and we'll charge you on the way out. So I go pop these things off. $2. Literally, $2. My whole day was ruined over a piece of junk plastic that the junkyard charged me $2 for. So I go back home, finally get the junk plastic on, go to the guy at the end of the day. They're closing. He's like, okay, good, man. Thanks. Thumbs up. Okay, you can pass. Oh, but wait. Oh, so you're an out-of-state car. Okay, I got to get you a green sheet. It's another form of paperwork, and we can't do that until the next business day.
Yeah, I want to interject here. If this were a few years from now, or if it were now in LibPair, you probably would have just been able to print the part out if you needed it for some reason on your
in a plastic printer.
Yeah,
3D right? printer. Right?
By the way, well, did you hear that our friend who's doing the 3D gun thing, the people he was leasing the printer from got wind of what he was doing and made him return it? Or send him a nasty gram, tell him to return it.
Yeah, completely horrible. Have you talked to him since then? I know he's a busy guy.
He's a busy guy.
I really wonder what he's going to do with it.
Go on with there, but for the grace of God, go us.
So yeah, moral of the story, I didn't get... I mean, I fixed my
car.
I
didn't mean like, yeah, well, that guy's fucked. I just meant like, he's probably having some more complicated days than even you are lately.
Dude, I mean, I'm not trying to say I'm... You know, Job here from the Bible. I'm not looking for sympathy.
Well,
you know,
I had a bad day,
but everybody has a bad day all the time. So I don't want people to go, oh, poor Nima. Yeah.
And watch Tremé and watch people deal with a pretty accurate depiction of people rebuilding their lives after Katrina.
Yeah. I mean, I feel kind of like an ass. I'm not trying to say, oh, poor me. I'm just trying to say.
I'm complaining
these,
more.
These
than
are
you
the
are,
little
man.
Things.
I'm
these are the little.
You are.
Yeah, well, these are the little things that you don't think about, that the state doesn't even think about, that the people who wrote this law don't ever think about, these kind of silly unintended consequences, that somebody's going to have to spend a whole day that they were supposed to be preaching liberty and educating people and bettering the world, they have to spend the whole day searching through junk across a whole town for a $2 piece of plastic so he can get a permission slip just so he can go work, do actual productive work in society.
Did you mention that they didn't care about your cracked windshield?
Oh, yeah. So I've had this...
It's an actual possible safety issue they didn't care about, but they cared about the, like, imaginary plastic to cover the lady parts of your car.
Right. Well, if anybody's ever seen my car windshield, you have. It's like a shotgun blast hit it.
I saw it, like... a year ago, and I thought it was going to fall out on your way to Washington.
Everybody's thought that for like 5 years, man, and it's stable. I have no worries about it, and
it looks like it's hit by a shotgun.
All the horribleness is on the passenger side. It really doesn't affect my driving at all. It affects passengers. Like when we were on the road trip, my wife was like, this is giving me a headache, but I've been driving fine with it for 5 years in horrible, horrible conditions and beautiful conditions, and I have not had any problems with it. People try to tell me that the tech today, he goes, you know, your windshield is horrible, but I'm not going to say anything about it because it's not a law, which is kind of, and I just stopped him right there. I said, hey, you know, I don't believe in these silly government laws, so just don't even go where you're going. And he was like, oh, okay. It's just... completely ridiculous, and I don't know where to direct my anger. And I guess the best thing to do is to just talk it out like I am now, explain why I'm upset about it. You know, I guess that'll make me feel better. That's an interesting thing. I think I was talking to Chandler on his show once, or maybe it was somebody who called into the Fiends, and we were talking about how, you know, one of the things about the state is, each different agency and each different individual hides themselves behind layers and layers so that you can't ever really blame any one individual or even any one group for what's going wrong. For the grievance you want addressed, there's nobody to address it because it was done in a committee by several people and then it was passed by this group and approved by this group but changed by this group.
And then it's
implemented by this group or that group, and it's implemented by private industry like these inspection stickers
anyone
are.
Anyone who's actually like that you're going to deal with in something like this is someone who just needs a job to help their family, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So there's no... Yeah, I felt like...
orders.
Right, right. Which, I mean, doesn't work in cases like Nuremberg. But, yeah, in a case like this where somebody's just denying you an inspection sticker, I guess you can buy that.
I don't think it'll be Nuremberg. In Lippear, I don't think there'll be Nuremberg trials for...
For state inspection sticker.
I don't think so.
Yeah, there
those people all be... It'll be commuted for time served or something.
There you go. Right, right, right. But, yeah, I felt like Hank Hill in that episode I watched recently. It was one of the earlier episodes where... The video store. It's his credit gets declined for a new dryer, and it's because there's $40 he owes to the video store for a porno that he swears up and down he never saw, he didn't rent. And he tells the guy at the video store, "Now, are you calling me a liar, or is the computer calling me a liar? Because I need to know which ass to kick."
And then he's like, "Where's the butt on that?
Where's the ass on this computer?
So I can kick it."
That's how I felt today. I was like, whose ass do I kick today? And so the answer is nobody.
Where are you in this process? What's tomorrow morning?
So the car's fixed. The guy said he would approve it. He just had to wait to the next business day because there's this extra layer of government paperwork he has to do called a green sheet, which is specific to out-of-state cars. So because of that, even though I got there just in time today, he couldn't help me out. So I got to go meet with him at 7:30 in the morning. He already looked over the car and said all he has to do is press a button. He just couldn't do that. And so he said he'd do it tomorrow morning. Ideally, he does that. Ideally, he does that, and I don't have any other problems. That's the thing, is I haven't even really dealt with the actual bureaucracy yet. That's where I'm at in the process. The worst of it so far has been the bureaucracy pointing the guns at the private industry state inspection guy.
So this
telling him to fail me.
Man, I can't get a word in edgewise. We've done 22 minutes on this, but I'm going to let you keep going if you want. I'll save the file and then let you keep going.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Ugh, I'm so sick of looking at Steve's wedding pics, and I'm all out of passive-aggressive comments. What else am I supposed to do at work all day?
Sick of stalking your ex on Facebook?
Yeah!
Are you all out of cute cats and autocorrect mishaps to lolat?
Duh!
Freedom Fiends to the rescue! The Fiends now have a blog. Read all about the latest tyranny today. Dream about lip pair. Laugh while Western civilization collapses. Just click on the cat icon to the right of freedomfiends.com. Freedom Fiends blog. Read it!
Rolling. So, tell me more, Nima. How did the state slowly, gently rape you today?
So yeah, I mean, I guess they're done with me for the day. But like I said, I have not yet actually dealt with the actual bureaucracy. All the horribleness today has been the after effects, the trickle down, the unintended consequences, the unseen vis-a-vis this private entity that is, you know, the inspection sticker people, which the way it works in Texas is they outsource. It's one of the worst of what you call those government private partnerships. So basically all these different lube shops, car shops, they get licensed to do state inspections, and then I guess it's extra revenue for them. But of course, you know, that means they have all the state strings. It leaves them open to all sorts of state liability. They're watched like a hawk. So all the horribleness today mostly stems from that relationship and the way they treated me because the state was making them do that. You know, the other thing I wonder is, you know, I'm sure in LibPair, you might have to have some kind of, I wouldn't call it a license, but some kind of approval to drive on whatever road you wanted to drive on or in whichever area you wanted to drive on, if that's the way it worked. I mean, there's nothing wrong with the system of, hey, this is a road, you have to meet certain qualifications to drive it. Same with your vehicle. The thing is it wouldn't be ridiculous. It wouldn't be arcane. It wouldn't be hoops that you have to jump through. It could probably all be done online. They would be trying their hardest to make sure everything's interconnected.
They'd probably be a lot more concerned about your spidered windshield than some condom for your
I guess the way I think of it too is you know, I know corporations suffer from a lot of the same problems as statism, but if you think about the way Netflix and Hulu work with Sony, PlayStation, something like that, you know, there's always content that needs to be delivered to people, or certain things that people want, and companies work together and they make it super easy. Like, I actually can watch content produced by, you know, a corporation like ABC vis-a-vis Netflix through a Sony PlayStation, and I didn't have to do any extra work. I didn't have to fill out a form for ABC. I didn't have to fill out a form for Netflix. Well, I guess I did have to fill out a form for Netflix, but I just bought the Sony PlayStation. And all Netflix needed was an email, and they made it real quick and easy. I didn't have to get up off my ass and sit in a line for 3 hours to get a Netflix approval. You know, I just signed up for it on the internet.
Yeah.
You know, with all this stuff, I have to go to different places all across town all day, spend, you know, if not hours, then days, getting all the requisite right things at the right time. Their websites are horrible. They don't tell you everything you need. They did not say on their website that I needed to get a registration first if I was new in town. They don't have any section about being new in town.
So you're just saying in Lippear, if there was something of any kind of licensing to use the various road systems, there'd be competition.
Well, not only would there be competition, but the competition is what would make it not horrible like it is today. The fact that it is a monopoly force, a statist monopoly force that controls these things, is the reason that they don't bend over backwards to make things cheap, convenient, and easy. It's the reason they make you do all the legwork and could care less if you waste a whole day of productivity going on wild goose chases to get random pieces of plastic. You know, and because it's a government, there's no person I can write a letter to and be compensated for this. You know, if this were some kind of private entity, I could write a letter, call and complain to the manager, send an email, explain my situation, explain how I lost a whole day of productivity for this ridiculous thing that didn't make me safer, didn't do its intended thing. Can't do that with a state monopoly. Write all the letters I want, but I'm not going to get anywhere. I'm only going to get a form letter back from whichever person I decided to write to.
If there was not a monopoly on this, and you did that, you'd probably get like an apology and a free coupon for something to do something with that company for free later.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. We do that all the time in my family. You know, if we are treated poorly by a private entity, say Little Caesars. One time, Little Caesars, you know, my wife's a vegetarian. They said they couldn't do a half cheese, half pepperoni. They said they'd have to, and then they didn't have any cheeses ready, and it would take them an extra 20 minutes, and they took forever, and it was supposed to be hot and ready. What else did they do? They just had really poor service. And then we called and complained, and the manager was like, oh, man, I'm so sorry. Oh, and yeah, I understand you guys are new in town, because we were new in town, and he wanted our business. So what he did was he said, how about this? How about I throw you a Super Bowl party? And, okay. I'll provide all the food. I'll cater your Super Bowl party. And I was like, wow, that's really nice of you. You know, unfortunately, I have to work at the TV station on Super Bowl Sunday. But, you know, we'll take you up on part of your offer. You know, if you want to throw in us a few pizzas, some wings, that'd be great. And he did. The next day or the day after, we went and picked up two free pizzas and two orders of wings. And, you know, it was worth it. And it didn't leave a bitter taste in our mouth. Even though we had been really upset, he made it right? He made amends. He apologized. That's huge, right? He apologized. And then he went and made it right and went above that. Not only did he replace what was the problem, which was just one pizza, he doubled that and then threw in wings. And I feel like anytime I have a grievance with a company that is small enough to where I can get a hold of a manager on the phone, you know, they will apologize and they will make things right. And that's a wonderful thing. And that's the way voluntary interactions work. And anytime something is a voluntary interaction, either party, if they want that interaction to continue, if it's mutually beneficial, they will make a wrong right. The state will never do that because the state has no incentive to do that.
Well, to
the state, when I go to the DPA, go ahead, get your word in, edgewise. Well,
I'm kind of waiting for you to get to a stopping place. We're 26 minutes into this.
Okay.
Are you? Keep going, man. Keep going. Because
well,
I want to take
saying.
This off into a whole different fucking direction at
okay,
some point.
Well, I was trying to come full circle.
If you're not done taking the shit yet, go ahead and take the shit.
Well, I was going to come full circle to you,
burp.
Right? Because,
all
right, because,
go ahead.
Because tomorrow when I go to the DPS and I explain to them what went on and I try to get this stuff, They're going to have no sympathy. They're not going to apologize. They're not going to care. They're not even going to look me in the eye, I bet.
The only way you can ever get the government to do anything that even resembles amends is to sue them or scare someone that they're not going to get reelected.
Yeah. Even then, it's half-assed, and they're just doing it under duress because they want to get what they're...
Yeah, it's that thing of you can't force anyone to apologize, and someone who comes from a position of ruling you because they say so is not going to be inclined to apologize.
Right.
And it's just a bunch of people who are just feeding their family. And, you know, I mean, like, I'm seeing campaign signs now, and one is like, vote yes on blah, blah, blah. And it's to, like, give a raise to garbage men. And, like, you know, people can argue the need for the state to do things, you know, like statist arguments for things. And for roads, it almost makes sense. They have a better argument. It doesn't almost make sense, but they have a better argument because, you know, I mean, maybe roads would be done the way that, like, you know, internet transmission is done, or where people lease things over the same line. Maybe that could be done somehow with different administrations of roads. Like, you know, you only get pulled over by these security helpers on this road if you have this color sticker on or something that you paid for.
Here's the other thing about
garbage men. Garbage men. Let me just say something here about garbage men. Get back to it. It's the thing you're going to any statist is going to least convince me, because my wife and I moved from California to escape socialism as much as we could.
Yeah.
But in outside Los Angeles City, in Los Angeles County where we lived, there's not the garbage collection is done by private companies, and there's two or three of them. It's just, you know, you have to choose from the state list, but you can choose from them, and you pay them the same amount you pay here, but you're not paying for their pensions, and you're not having to give them a raise, and they're happy to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And they do a really good job. So that's I can't believe that's a voting thing. Like, really? You want to? Okay. So go on, Nima.
Yeah, that is completely ridiculous. Well, I was going to say the thing I've been thinking recently about the roads is when statists make the argument, they almost seem to imply that if anarchy happened, all the roads that currently exist would evaporate and we would have to start from square one.
No, they'd be there
one.
For a long time. And also, in a private economy, roads would be built by people who build them to last instead of needing to be replaced.
Right. And here's the thing, statist, if your roads are that amazing, if we couldn't live without them and we couldn't have them without you, well, thank you. Do you want a pat on the back? Will that get you off of our backs? Will that get you to stop pointing guns at us if we just say, thanks for the roads, we're good. We appreciate it. We're done here.
Yeah, and you know, I've always said that without government intervention, we'd all be in flying cars by now anyway.
Right, right.
And we had actually had a government regulation issue this morning. And what we were trying to do, when you told me you were going to have to run around and do all these things, I said, well, let's have you do 5 or 10 or 20 minutes from each place by cell phone, and that'll be our cast. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually going to put that recording at the end of this. It sounded so shitty, we aborted after about 4 minutes. You know, I think that without all the government regulation, without the FCC, without the problems of startup companies being started, I think by now cell phones would sound as good as like CDs. I really do.
CD quality. Yeah. Wave coming straight at you. Yeah. Well, I mean, look at Mumble. Mumble, what we're talking on now sounds pretty darn close. You know, it's not there yet, but Mumble sounds infinitely better than a cell phone. And
corporations also cheap out on the microphones on cell phones. It's not just a bandwidth problem, although that's a lot of it. But, you know, if they spent 50 cents on the microphone instead of 10 cents on the microphone, they'd sound a bit better.
Yeah. Well, part of the thing is people don't really use their phones to talk on the phone anymore.
I do.
Yeah, you do. Oh, I guess I more mean smartphones, you know.
People using like the text and surf the web and
text and surf the web and check their email.
Check the tyranny today.
Yeah.
So are you done?
I'm done on my rant.
Sure.
I mean, I guess we're not done.
I'm not hurrying you. I'm just. I want you to be done. If you want to take 10 more minutes, 20
the
more
full,
minutes.
The full circle thing was. So yeah. So then you call me and you're like, "Kitty cast in half an hour," and I'm like, "Well, I gotta eat dinner." And then
now,
I brought
this is
up.
But this is after you told me 2 hours earlier.
Right.
That you could cast in 2 hours, and I was like, "I don't know. Maybe we'll do it." Then I don't know if I'm gonna nap. If I can sleep or not. Maybe we'll do it late tonight. And you're like, well, I don't really know if I can, but maybe I can move the microphone out in the living room and not wake up my wife. And then we're like, well, maybe we'll do it tomorrow, but we have Dalton's thing tomorrow.
Well, you sounded kind of like you were down for options. Yeah. But then when you called me, like as I was cooking dinner, I guess you were very insistent, which is fine.
I tried to nap and I said no.
I didn't say no. What did I say? I said, oh, well, maybe we could do it tomorrow. and then all of a sudden I hear, fuck! I was wondering if you hurt yourself, and then you were like, no, man, we got to do it now.
I know. Well, I like doing this, and I don't want to leave our people waiting.
Yeah, I don't either.
I'm sorry, people.
We have a responsibility to the fiends.
Well, I did yell at you, and you didn't really fully describe how I yelled at you. I wish we had a recording of that, but can you describe in a little more detail?
You were pissed. Yeah. It wasn't like, fuck. It was like, fuck, man. What now?
Yeah.
What? Or something like that. Like, I can see you like blowing up your chest on the other side of the phone or something, man.
Well, I did say to you, you know, this is your fault. It's not just the state's fault.
Oh, that was
it.
It's not just the state's fault. Yeah. That kind of cut me a bit.
I'm sorry to cut you, brother. I'll kiss it and make it better and try to heal it. But I want to explain what I was thinking is.
Okay.
You know, people got to take care of their business, you know? And you knew this would have to be done eventually, but you were a combination of like, agorously inclined and seeing what you could get away with and just repulsed by the idea of having to do it.
Yeah.
And it's that Austin thing. You know, they said Austin, it's not a bunch of, you know, like people who don't pay taxes, but it's the people who are like the most procrastinating about their taxes of any city in the country, you know? And you were procrastinating taxes. I told you that, didn't I, on a previous cast? Yeah. Austin of any city in America is the latest.
They're the latest. Ones that wait until April 15th.
Or later, or apply for extensions, or forget to, and then pay, you know, whatever. Y'all don't like taking time out of your busy, wonderful day to do things like that. And
why should any of us? And I kind of did feel like maybe I should feel guilty for a second. I was like, you know, I'm an adult. I should be responsible. But is that what responsibility means this day and age? Does it mean filling out the appropriate government paperwork?
It kind of does in a way. It does in a way. And it affected
me. It's just sad
that
that's what it means.
It affected me and my day that you didn't do this 6 months ago or 3 months ago or 2 months ago or 2 days ago. You know,
it did.
It just happened to be on the first day of a day when I have four podcasts to produce in 3 days. And I'm feeling bitchy and sick and tired and not sick, but hurt back. And, you know, got up early to do it. And I was just thinking like, man, you could have taken care of your business, brother.
Yeah.
Which
that's how the state is, man.
It is. It turns brother against brother, man. It really does. Yeah, you know. Yeah.
And you can't fit it into a schedule because when it comes to the state, especially here in Texas, I feel like I've had horrible experiences. You know, in Washington, I never really had a horrible experience in Wyoming, but
I think you've done really well getting away with not taking care of this business for three states. Yeah, for 3 years in 3 states.
Yeah. Well, knock on wood, because I'm not in the clear yet. And they might be like, well, where's your Wyoming registration that you had when you lived in Wyoming? And I'll be like, I didn't have one. They're like, okay, we must pay you. You must pay an anarchist fee of $1,000.
Yeah. I think what it kind of came on the tail end of a bunch of other people not taking care of their business that I was dealing
with.
And like two people in like a month who are self-identified agorists who like kind of put me through agony because they were agorists and like, or despite that they were agorists, it was kind of like they did what anybody would consider flaking with me, you know. Mm-hmm. And I kind of want, I'd rather see someone show me that they're succeeding doing it their way. And this doesn't include you because you're generally really on top of shit. But
well, here's the thing. I mean,
it came on the tail end of this, of me, like, you know, yeah, two agorists who were like, yes, I'm an agorist, I talk about agorism, I'm an agorist, who like fucking flaked on me in business stuff. Yeah. Really small, yep, business stuff. But the thing, and I'm not going to say who they are. They're good people. Maybe it was just this once. But it's like, you know, the thing with helping people out is like, the people who do shit well for me on little stuff are the people I end up like paying to do big stuff or right, get them deals. I mean, there's like four people that have book deals and three people right, that have DVD deals because of me, because they did, yeah, something small for me for free. Mm-hmm. And then later I went like, ah, that's the person for this job, and recommended it to someone who could really help them.
Exactly. You
know? Which isn't, mm-hmm, saying like, if someone does small favors for me, I'm going to do big favors for them. But,
If somebody's reliable, that's how you find out if somebody's reliable or not.
People complain about nepotism, but it's like, nepotism makes sense in a way. It's like, you're going to go with somebody, you know, when you're going into something that's going to be like a combat situation, like making a movie with somebody, like, you know, down in the trenches for 6 months, you're not going to go with like the person with the degree that you don't know anything about. You're going to go with the guy who like helped you do the 3-minute video and kicked ass with it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the thing is, too, you know, if the stuff needs to get done, I'll do it. The only reason I said, do you want to do it tomorrow, is because you'd been kind of like, well, I'm kind of tired, I know, and I might want to nap.
But I tried to nap. I couldn't nap. Cats are walking on my face. I was still
walking on your face?
Yeah. It happens.
Okay.
Walking on my pillow, bumping my head.
Yeah.
And then hissing at each other. Yeah.
Got it. Yeah. Cat's also keeping you up. Hey, I understand completely. Our cat gets the night willies, and he'll just go on a rampage trying to find all the tape in the house and then crunch it loudly until we make him stop.
That sounds like tape. OCD, yes, brother. That sounds like cat OCD.
No, he's a drug addict. He loves to lick the adhesive off of the tape and get high off of it. He's done it since we got him, man. He's been... plus he'll lick up any coffee grounds he finds. He'll lick up any tobacco flakes he finds. He's obsessed with substances. I don't know what he gets out of the tape, but anytime there's tape, he's on it, like going crazy for it.
Yeah. All right. Let's go sell some things. Hang on a sec here.
All right.
Yeah.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes. Follow twitter.com/fiendtorrents to grab the past episodes and new ones as they post. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents, while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding the fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down. That's twitter.com/fiendtorrents.
Have you swallowed too much of the state's poison? The Freedom Fiends will stick their fingers down your throat and hold your hair back while you hurl. Check out the new show, The Freedom Fiends Agenda, on Adam Curry's No Agenda Global Radio. Streaming live every Thursday from 3:30 to 5:30 p.m. East Coast U.S. time. The Freedom Fiends Agenda is Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati's fun and feisty chat about market anarchy, self-defense, real money, the digital police state, activism, DIY media, sex pets, and rock and roll. Call in soon before they get droned. Live studio number 307-215-5171 or via Skype to username kittyfeet1. Listen live at nagradio.com. That's nagradio.com. The Freedom Fiends from freedomfiends.com.
So, Nima, we're rolling. So we spent half the cast on you venting, and I'm not hurrying you. If you have to take the whole cast to do it, we'll do it. But I need to know before we go on in a completely... If I want to take in a completely different direction, I'm tired. Are you done or you need more time, man?
I think I'm good, man. I achieved catharsis. I got mine.
We had Potus interrupt us, but then you went and thought about baseball for a while and came back, and now you're ready to Yeah, you drove
it
home.
I'm all good. Right.
All right.
No, I was catharsis. I didn't have to think about baseball. I'm to completion. I completed my catharsis. It's all out now.
Yeah. I don't have those problems that require thinking about baseball. But I did lose 17 pounds, man, so far on the Fiends diet.
Almost 20. We're going to hold you to that. Once you're at 20, you know, you got to do a blog post and give us instructions and start a whole
new health
cult.
No, I can't give instructions. That's giving medical advice. I can't do that. I can tell what I did. That's it.
No, you can give instructions. You just can't give personal advice to somebody who writes in.
I'm going to make it more, I won't even say vague than that. Just more like, I'm going to say, here's what I did and here's what the results were.
Okay. Actually, yeah,
there's
going
to be a lot of recipes in it or links to recipe
your ass.
Books.
Cover your ass.
It's not just cover my ass. You know, I've been doing that forever. I mean, if you look at like $30 Film School written in, you know, 2002 or whatever. I mean, 2003.
You weren't telling people what to do. You were telling people what you did.
Yeah. You know, I'd say like, well, yeah, if you can't find these programs, there are other ways to get them. Not that I'd ever recommend doing anything illegal. I also said that when I told about a friend I knew who wanted to film on a city street in L.A. and borrowed some street clothes signs and stuck them up for a few hours and filmed.
Nice.
And I had pictures of my friend's signs for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's public property, right? He owns it just as much as the next guy.
Yep. So.
Good times.
So, Tremé.
Tremé.
You haven't seen it.
I saw that clip of the black Indian trying to get the other guy to put on his black Indian costume.
Is that what was going on in the clip? Did that clip have them meeting on the street and having a like dance battle?
No. It's like dark, and the dude comes up in his giant black Indian costume, which is amazing.
No, he's black, and it's a very colorful costume.
Right. Well, he's a black Indian.
Well, they just call him Indians, man. They just call him Indians.
They don't call him... Okay, I was confused. But yeah, Feather Indian, not Dot Indian.
Yeah.
And he was all into it, man. And I'm guessing the tension I felt was... Because the whole thing is it's supposed to be after Katrina, right? Like rebuilding New Orleans. Yeah. I felt like he was trying to get the other guy to, you know, go ahead and get his sewing kit out and make himself his own Indian costume and let's continue the tradition. You know, we can't let this kind of die kind of thing.
Yeah, that's part of it. This show is amazing, okay?
Yeah.
I'm going to review it, even though you've never seen it, and I'll probably spend as much time as you did bitching talking about it. The first thing I'll say is HBO is kicking ass. HBO is coming up with amazing original programming that, like, leaves real TV in the fucking dust. Second thing is the show Tremé. It's named after the neighborhood New Orleans. It's a bunch of intersecting stories of people in episodic form rebuilding their lives after Katrina. And it is stunning. One thing I don't understand is how HBO keeps finding all these really, really good actors I've never seen before. You know, most of the people in this are not stars. Same is true in a couple other shows I'm watching on there, Boardwalk Empire. And there's a few stars in it who are really good. Candy Alexander, you know her?
No.
She's the black medical examiner on CSI Miami, and she was in News Radio, and she was in Menace to Society.
I might can place her in News Radio.
She's a really...
And do you mean Menace to Society, or do you mean Don't Be a Menace to Society while drinking your juice in the hood?
The non-funny one.
The non-spoof? One.
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
Yeah.
I saw the spoof, though.
Yeah, well, she started in, you know, kind of like... two friends, one dies, one goes to prison, cousin changes his ways movies, you know. Then got on News Radio and then did a bunch of other stuff and then got on CSI Miami and now she's in this and she's great. John Goodman is in this and he's amazing and his character is so funny and so right on and so bittersweet. The whole thing is really bittersweet. The whole thing is like New Orleans. It's all about amazing music, and there's a lot of amazing music in it, of everything from like ragtime to modern jazz to blues to bounce to rap. You know, I mean, it's got everything that makes up New Orleans, and great food, which you can't taste as well as you can hear the music, but it's great, and dirty, filthy cops. and a lot of bittersweet things happening. And that's kind of New Orleans in a nutshell. You know, it's a bittersweet place. I got mugged there. The guy I got mugged with a couple years later got shot to death for no reason by some 12-year-old black kid for target practice for no reason. And, you know, and that was before Katrina, and things got way worse after that. It's not a place I feel like I ever want to visit again, although I could bring my gun, but, you know, you'd need it, and they take them away from you there. So, you know, National Guard went door to door after Katrina and took them away from people.
Yeah, I would open carry my shotgun.
Let's see, who else is in this? There's a guy named Steve Zahn. Do you know who Steve Zahn is? Z-A-H-N. He kind of looks like me, and he kind of reminds me of me. His character in this.
Steve Zahn.
Yeah, look him up.
Let me go to the IMDb page for Tremaine. Yeah. See if I can see his picture here.
Yeah. And there's a lot of really good musicians in it. There's a lot of guest spots from really good musicians in it. John Hyatt's in it. You know, the guy that used to play with the guys who play with Slish. He's amazing. Steve Earle is a recurring character in it, but not playing Steve Earle. He's playing a street musician, and he's really funny and a really good musician. And I've actually hung out with Steve Earle. I can't go into a lot of detail about it because it was kind of an anonymous situation, a thing where you got to stay anonymous. You know what? Fuck it, though. That guy's like been court-ordered to Narcotics Anonymous so many times, there's no secret.
Oh, yeah. I know who Steve Zahn is.
Yeah. I met Steve Earle at my hipster NA meeting in San Francisco. He was on tour, called the NA hotline, and they said, you're a musician? You're in town for that? Okay, go check this out. And nobody knew who he was, and all the hipsters were like, you know, who's this plump old man with long hair? He's not like us. And I felt like reaching out to who I thought was a newcomer and went over to him and was like, hey, man, I'm Michael. What's your name? You know, I started talking to him, and I ended up on the guest list at his show at the Fillmore and backstage pass and hanging out with him. So it was cool. Yep. And, you know, I guess I'd be breaking his anonymity, but he's broken his own so many times. He's one of those, it's always a bad idea to, like, trumpet that you're in NA in magazines, especially if you have a propensity to go in and out and in and out. And be ordered.
Well, it seemed to work for Charlie Sheen, right?
And be ordered there by judges. I don't know. Is Charlie sober?
I don't know. Not by being sober. I mean by being famous. He seems like he got a lot of buzz from his old breakdown there.
Yeah, it kind of revived.
I guess he got
career.
Fired, though, so maybe not.
Yep. So you know who Steve Zahn is, right? He actually, I think his first role was playing a gay figure skater on Friends. That's the first time I saw him. But he kind of looks like he and I could be in the same lineup. He's about a little younger than me, but yeah.
I think my favorite acting job he did was probably Happy Texas. Have you ever seen that?
No. He's 4 years younger than me. We really could be in the same lineup. If I lose a few more pounds, too, especially. I could go as him on Halloween, man.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, he's a musician and a DJ at a radio station, and he gets fired for playing too much bounce music on the station. You know bounce music, right?
When you say bounce, you mean like Southern hip-hop, or what do you mean?
It's a certain kind of Southern hip-hop that makes women bend over and stick their asses in your face and shake them.
Ah, okay, yep, I know.
Which is always a good thing, so.
Yes.
Yeah, it's booty shaking hip hop. Really incessant beat.
Yeah.
But he also runs for office at some point. Like when his character ran for city council, announced he was going to do that, I was like, ugh, I liked him. I used to like this guy, this character. But then I like him because he runs under this like pot for potholes, legalize pot, tax it, and use it to revitalize the city. And the, you know, for a statist, that's pretty hip. And his other thing is even better. It's greased palm Sundays. He's like, well, this whole town runs on bribes. I say we do it once a week only and put it on TV.
That's great. I love it.
This show also has, it's the best depiction of cops I've ever seen on TV. And as someone who's a recovering cop show used to like, and still kind of secretly do, it's the only show I've ever seen on TV where the cops play a repeating important part of it, and they are pretty much bad. You know, they do shit like beat musicians up on the street. Street musicians take their horn and pawn them. They do shit like shoot people and try to get away with it. They take bribes. They're dirty. They're filthy. Mm-hmm. They have a we're at war with everybody kind of attitude. And, you know, have everyone convinced, most people convinced, like, well, without us, there'd be chaos in the street. But there's already chaos in the street.
Yeah.
You know, there's a,
they
there's
add
a,
to the chaos in the street.
There's a sign someone's holding that really kind of sums up what was going on in New Orleans at one point. It was someone's holding up a sign at a rally that says, a murder a day keeps recovery at bay.
Oof.
There's also some graffiti that I think is actual graffiti in there that says, on the side of an abandoned building, it says FEMA, and then it spells it out. It says, fix everything, my ass. And there's a dirty FEMA, like, regional administrator in this who's just, like, taking graft and taking cuts and, you know, living a high life in nice restaurants with hookers on his arm on FEMA's dime and, like, being responsible for where a lot of the money is directed and who gets what contract and who what he gets is off the top.
Well, it looks like the show's made by the same folks who made The Wire, right? And
yeah, which I never really got into. People told me, if you like The Shield, you'll love The Wire, but I didn't really like The Wire.
Yeah.
It was all about snitches, man. It bummed me out.
I watched like the first four episodes of the first season, I think. I had a friend who, you know, extolled its virtues to me day and night, and I think he even made me promise him that I would watch it, and I said I'd try. Glad I didn't actually promise, because I watched the first four episodes. But I do remember that one of the things I did like was the cops. I felt like they weren't necessarily completely evil, like they weren't caricatures of the evilness of the state, you know, like the way I would portray them. They were just kind of like fuck ups, you know, like they would get drunk and drive drunk and smash shit and then be like, well, let's go fucking get this one criminal we know lives in these projects. And then they would get, you know, the project people to throw beer bottles at them and it'd just be a whole mess and they'd screw everything up. And they seemed human, but human for their vices, not human for any good virtues. And I thought that was a nice depiction, because usually, you know, you see them on TV, you know, they're heroes. They're not human.
Yeah, but
there is a long
tradition in cop shows, probably going back to the French Connection, of cops who, like, you know, the viewer is supposed to like them. They have flaws. They have really major flaws. Like, you know, they're a drunk or their wife's cheating on them or something, or they push the line too much, or, you know, that's The Shield. I mean, that's The Shield right there.
Right.
But
the cops
in this, like, don't do anything good, really. They rarely do. And people get shot all the time and raped all the time and jacked all the time. And the cops come and take pretty pictures of it and write stuff on paper afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Cops come and do some paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. State loves paperwork. Yep. Yeah, I don't know how you Democrat, liberal, environmentalists like love the state so much, man. If it weren't for the state, think of all the trees that wouldn't have been chopped down to make paper for all your stupid files.
Yeah. So the one of the kind of takeaways from this show, Treme, you know, I lived in New Orleans for about a month and a half one summer in about 1992, 1993 with a girl. And I'd visited there several times because I've dated three women who lived in New Orleans and visited all of them there. It's kind of like my other Texas. You know, all my exes live in Texas. I had a bunch in New Orleans, too. And when I say I lived there, you know, 6 weeks doesn't sound like a long time, but it's like I gave up other house, you know, rental, whatever. Didn't even sublet. Just quit living in San Francisco. Went there, got my mail there, was trying to build a life there, and just it didn't work out with the girl, and I came back, you know. But so I lived there, and I saw, like, a tiny sliver while I was there of, like, what living there means. And living there is a really bittersweet thing, and there's moments that are amazing that, like, are not possible in any other city in America. That's what I could say about it. And, you know, whenever there's a hurricane headed for the South, you know, Louisiana, Texas, whatever, you know, Florida, DJ and I always kind of go, like, why do people live there? It's their fault. And then Treme reminded me and, like, proved to me why people live there. And I'm like, of course they live there. Of course they don't leave, man. Yeah. It's in people's heart. It's in their soul. You know, it's like
it is.
Hemingway said that Paris is a movable feast, meaning, like, it stays in your heart wherever you go. New Orleans is the French Paris, you know? It really is.
You mean the Southern American Paris?
The American Paris, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm tired.
Yeah, man, I've been there three or four times, and
you and
loved
I both
it every
got
time I've gone.
You and I both got aggressed on.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess you're right. It is bittersweet. It'll always offer you something good and something bad. Seems like.
Yeah, John Goodman, man, I like him, but I've never been a huge fan. But I'm a huge fan now.
Yeah, I like him, man. I mean, I guess I should watch Treme. You're selling me on it now. I think I'd rather watch this than Boardwalk Empire.
I think you would, man. I mean, I watched.
I don't want to see. I don't want to see a show about people in New Jersey, man. I like to pretend the whole East Coast doesn't exist. So
yeah,
but New Orleans, I'll watch that. Yeah,
and this takes place in you know, like almost now time. I mean, it starts like 4 months after Katrina, and you know, goes up to second season. We're into the third season, and it's up to like 2007, 2008, okay. I think. It's really good, man. It's really bittersweet. I've cried several times watching it, like tears down my face, like real, genuine. It's fucking beautiful, and it's something where you really end up caring about the people in it. Yeah. They're my new friends. They're my new imaginary friends.
Yay.
And Steve Zahn.
Although you said that about the people in Entourage too, though.
Fuck those people. Fuck those people.
I hate them.
Fuck those. Fuck those. Those lap of luxury, one like triple. They're basically like triple lottery winners with a little bit of talent between them. You know,
yeah. Triple lottery, baby.
Yeah. So I think that might be it. All I have on Treme.
For Treme.
I do want to say that at the end of this, I got to remember to put in the recording of the like 3 minutes of me trying to do this podcast with you while you were
on the phone,
on your cell phone today, and we got to
try that again at some point and maybe test it so that we have that as a tool at our disposal. I think that'd be really cool.
You need a better phone, man.
Yeah. That's,
you really do. Because I've done telephone interviews with people, and they sound way better than that was sounding.
Yep. Yep, that's coming, man. That's on its way.
Well, also,
as long as the state gives me permission to drive a freaking car.
Well, that was the other thing, too. Like, you know, I never finished this thought with the, when I said it's your fault. The thing that finally got you off your ass to do this was you got a job and you had to have a driver's license for it, in-state driver's license, right? Well, you could have done that months ago, man. You got to take care of your business. You got to keep your business in line, man, even if your business is not something you want to do.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's just I had another supposed job or contract work, and the work has been so slow, it's not, you know, stacking them mad bitcoins that I want stacked, so... this is, I don't know. I guess, yeah, you're right. I should have prepared better, but,
it's okay,
you
know, man.
It is what it is. You got to adapt to new information, and the new information being what I thought was going to stack my mad bitcoins ended up not, which happens sometimes.
And you'll have tomorrow to do what you have to do. When does your job start?
Hopefully this Friday.
Okay. You'll be able to do the Fiends Agenda show on Thursday, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Cool.
This will not affect the Fiends at all.
Well, do you have your notes?
I'm going to be working on days that usually I don't even leave on my office hours. So office hours will still be...
Do you have your notes?
Yeah, I've got my notes. Why? We haven't even touched them. But yeah, I've got them.
Search the word Isaac and read that comment from Isaac, and I'll be right back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I will do that. All right. So, break up the pace here, and we'll just go ahead and explain what Isaac said. Isaac says, "We are slaves. I listen to truth-telling media all day, like Free Talk Live, Stefan, Ben Stone, etc., when I'm at work and on the weekends. When I drive to and from work to go to lunch or something, I put on brainwashing statist media. The difference is unbelievable. Just today, one guy called into a show on AM radio and was trying to say how Romney's foreign policy will keep us safer. It's true that once you've heard the truth, you can never go back to the lies. Listening to AM radio is like listening to slaves beg for less of a beating or watching a documentary on Stockholm syndrome. Huh. It's pathetic. At least the caged wolf retains the ability to turn on his master." A caged wolf. I'm guessing he means there as opposed to a caged sheep. Which is, I think that's interesting imagery there.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
I like that, Isaac.
It's good.
Yeah. Although he does not say he listens to us. He says he listens to Free Talk Live, Stefan, and Ben.
But he sent this to us. He listens to us. I know he listens to us.
Yeah. I guess it goes without saying, Isaac.
I think it does.
Thank you, though.
Yeah.
That is so true, though. And it's weird because it makes me look at people who still enjoy those news sources, who still think of those as actual news sources.
Isaac is one of our monthly donors.
Oh, okay. Okay. So Isaac is a true
Did you say his last name? I don't know if he wants his last name in here.
I did not say his last name, no.
Okay. Well, let's go sell some stuff and come back.
Okay. Yeah.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean. Available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Rolling. So, Nima.
Yeah, what's up?
I watched the new Parks and Rec. It's pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
Although it's got real politicians in it. It really scared me.
Yeah. Did I say that on the cast or did I just say that to you on the phone? Okay. Okay. Yeah, there was John McCain on it and Barbara Boxer. And
Olympia Snow. And that is Boxer and Snow for sure.
It was.
And and McCain. Yeah. You know, it's interesting. You know, Andy, the kind of lovable stoner character.
Yes, I love him.
He's basically lovable. Unemployable, but he wants to provide for his wife, so he's becoming a cop.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. They summed that up at the end of the last season. Because he takes like a college class. And then he's like, you know, at least I figured out what I wanted to do. I was disappointed in that, man. That is one of the things that makes me sadder than anything else is when somebody tells me that they're going to be a cop or their son is going to be a cop. I'm like, really? People still want to do that? Like, okay, if you're already a cop, fine, whatever. I mean,
at least if you join the army, you get to play with grenades in training.
Yeah, I mean, what benefit do you see being a cop? I mean, I would like to talk
being
to somebody.
Being a cop is just being a professional bully, man.
It really is. You know, I don't think it amounts to anything more than that.
There was a kid in my high school that grew up to be a cop, and he was a dick. He wasn't a full-on beat-your-ass bully, but he was a dick.
Was he a hall monitor? Was he a tattletale?
Nah, he wasn't like smart enough to be organized in his he wasn't working for the state yet then. He was just being a dick.
Right.
I remember asking my friend one time, like, I think we were out camping and my friend had some weed or something, and I was like, you know, we saw some forest ranger go by in his truck, and I was like, you do more camping than me. What's the deal with forest rangers? You know, what's their power? And he's like, well, they can't arrest you. You don't walk up to a forest ranger smoking a joint. But not a lot of people, when they're little kids, you know, assholes don't say, I want to grow up to be a forest ranger.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I've never really had experiences with a forest ranger that made me think he was a dick. Well, except there was this one time when we were at Lake Powell this summer. We're driving the boat to go get gas. You know, there's this little halfway point in Lake Powell that you have to get gas at, especially if you're going to like the furthest extent of the lake because it's really huge. And it was a no wake zone. And I guess I felt like I had no wake, but I guess I was going slightly too fast, like less than a nun's cunt hair. Like, I don't know, a barely legal girl's cunt hair. And
third time this week. There you go. All right.
Is that the third time this week?
Yeah. I'm keeping track.
Okay. Good.
And start
good.
Finding you bitcoins.
When I say cunt hair?
Or no,
cunt?
The other part.
Okay.
The age.
I said barely legal, man. That means legal.
I know.
I mean, we all take the government's arbitrary distinction for what it is, don't we?
No, man. I'm law abiding, man.
I know. I am too. That's what I say. We take it for what it is.
Yeah.
So, guy was all like, "Hey, you want me to give you a ticket? Are you sure you don't want a ticket?" Just being a dumbass about it.
So I guess some dicks do grow up say, "I want to be a forest ranger."
Yeah. No, and then he had to inspect our boat to make sure there were adequate life vests. And something else. He did like a complete safety check and gave us a lecture the whole time he was doing it. And I'm thinking, really? Is this your job? Like, we're all out here to have fun. We're family who hasn't seen each other in months. And I'm sure there's other people in different situations. We don't want to be hassled by you, man. And then as I left, he goes, okay, make sure I don't give you a ticket now. Are you sure you don't want one again? It's my final offer, or something stupid like that. Like trying to be funny, but ending up being a dick.
So
it does happen.
So moving along, did you get my the DVD of my gun training movie show?
Yeah. Yeah, I got it. I got it yesterday, but I have not watched it yet. Nope. Okay. I'm gonna
here at the Freedom Fiends, we do enjoy all of the clickable arts.
The clickable arts, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I heard a really good Richard Stallman quote. He says he's actually linked on Adam Curry's Quotes from My Friends website or whatever. So I guess they're friends. Stallman said something like, you know, in the 1970s, we had a name for Democrats like the ones we have now, Republicans.
Huh. Well, you grew up in that time period-ish.
And I thought Democrats were cool and hip and wonderful. Well, Democrats were a lot more anti-war when I was younger. There wasn't as much like bipartisan, let's destroy the world and rape everybody. But, you know, Democrats started their share of wars and continued them. Maybe I had a rose-colored glasses view.
Were they really more anti-war? I mean, was LBJ a Democrat?
Yeah, I think it was just the people who were anti-war who voted tended to be Democrat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Potus interruptus, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I wonder about that, too, because... I guess I don't wonder about it anymore. But I know people who don't really follow politics a lot, and they tend to think of the Republicans as being the big government party. They think of the Republicans as being the ones who want to use the government to control you, because the government because the Republicans tend to infringe on the things that these kinds of people do, you know, as far as their bedroom or art and the communities they roll in. They hear more about people like Republican senators wanting to clamp down on gay marriage or whatever the pet issue is.
I got a quote right here. The Obama administration is preparing to issue an executive order that would direct federal agencies to develop new guidelines to shield computer networks from cyber attacks.
Yeah. Wasn't it like Cyber Security Week or something like that?
Somebody hacked the website of the White House, and I think
I read it, and I was very skeptical about it. I feel like the CIA
hacked the White House website,
not that, but I feel like the White House probably gets millions of cyber attacks a day.
The more popular a site is, the more it gets a day. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. And when I talked to the folks at the National Lab out in Washington State, you know, about cybersecurity, because they had their whole lab shut down from a cyber attack. And they were telling me, you know, we get, you know, millions of attacks a day, and a lot of the government sites we protect do as well. And usually they're no big deal. We have no problem dealing with them, and nothing shuts down. So I wonder if this was maybe just a routine attack that they just decided to play up for PR's sake.
Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine what an executive order from Obama to like protect the internet is going to look like. Yeah.
Well, I guess it would look like CISPA, but on steroids or something.
Without Congress even having to worry about it. Yeah. Although I don't think he's going to do that before an election.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although it's sad. This article on Yahoo sounded like it was imminent.
You know, one of the benefits of today and me driving around and running state required errands was I got to listen to Adam Curry's podcast the whole way through for the first time.
Excellent.
And this was their subject. They were talking about, it's supposedly cybersecurity week, and, Janet Napolitano, you know, Homeland Security lady, was pitching this. The thing was, somebody asked her about, you know, would it be okay if the president just did this as an executive order, you know, instead of having Congress do it. And she basically said, well, you know, Congress already had their chance to act on this, and we feel like it's important enough. She's basically saying, well, if Congress didn't do it, we can do something.
Well, like Scott Horton says, you know, Eric Holder has already decided that Barack Obama's the different parts of Obama's brain constitute checks and balances for murdering an American citizen.
Right, right. And due process as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Although probably the more hilarious thing was somebody asked Janet Napolitano what her personal cybersecurity routine was. trying to call her out on it. And she said, I don't even use email, so I'm completely secure.
Well, and that's probably not because she's unfamiliar with a computer. That's probably because at her level, she doesn't. She just tells people to do things and they securely email it or tell it to someone else for her.
I don't know, man. I bet it could be both. She's pretty old.
She was the governor of Arizona.
Yeah, but the governor just tells people what to do, too.
Yeah, it's true. Did you hear about the drug lab lady who was arrested for faking results?
Yeah, man. Like, for, like, 9 years.
Yeah, like...
9 whole years.
You know, the good thing about that is, though, a lot of
people
make it out
free.
Of jail. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a really good thing. Although, how does that work to where you're in jail because of a drug test? Like...
No, because of, like, testing evidence, not a blood test.
When they
pull you over and find some white powder in your pocket, they have to send it to a lab to prove it's what they say it is.
Okay. I got it. So this is all people who were in possession of drugs. And she
I believe,
was,
yeah.
Okay. But according to the article, it didn't even seem like she had any kind of malice in this. It looked like she was just...
Lazy.
A fraud. And it would just make the results up because she didn't want to do
work. She
work.
Didn't have the degree she said she had. She didn't really have the training that she claimed to have.
So she just thought, hey, I'm Indian. I can walk in and get this lab job.
Yeah.
And make a bunch of state money.
So California is rolling out their new state-run private retirement plan.
Like a state-level... Social Security kind of thing?
They're calling it private, and it's like you're forced into it if you don't have another something going on.
Oh, really? Oh, I
hate State-run that. Private retirement plan. What a ridiculously contradictory set of words.
Completely oxymoronic. Yeah. There's no such thing as a private-public partnership, by the way. That's oxymoronic, too.
Yeah, you become
it's
part of
possible.
The state when you contract with the state.
Exactly. Yeah, that ceases to be a partnership because the state never wants to be an equal partner. The state is your master. There's no partnership with it unless you're also another state.
There's a lot of comments on a thread I agreed with. One is California's $20 billion in the red and refuses to get its spending and liabilities under control, and I'm supposed to trust them with my money. Move on, folks. Nothing to see here except for another government ripoff. And then there was a comment commenting on comments like that said, right-wing garbage is overflowing on this thread.
Ugh. Yeah, that's not right-wing, buddy. That's freedom-minded. There's a difference.
Or at least, you know, small government-minded, which is a step in the direction of freedom.
Well, I mean, it's freedom to not want something ridiculous like this state-run. And how are they even going to do it? Are they going to withhold from people's paychecks?
I don't know, man, but that's the guy's comment is really good. Like, your state is going bankrupt and you want to manage my retirement?
Right? Yeah.
I'm so glad we got out of there, man. I'm so glad we got out of there. Yeah.
I was feeling bad about being back in Texas today, wishing I was in Wyoming. Man.
I found a real... Yeah, because you would have been, like, done in an hour today. Well, there's no inspections here either, right? On vehicles?
Yeah, no inspections in Wyoming. Yeah.
You know, there's a really funny fake bio of Richard Stallman on Unencyclopedia Wikia.com. And in part, it says... Stallman, it says, let me find it. It's really funny. Yeah.
You're looking for the Stallman.
While he may have begun life as a flexible, almost malleable entity, he is now described by most as being extremely difficult to work with. The ex-Emacs team, for example, cataloged a list just shy of 10,000 specific complaints about working with him that left them that led them to fork off to their own project.
Okay. So you're not the only media out there that's touched on that
apparently.
Subject.
Yeah.
All right.
Although unencyclopedia.com, it's all funny, but it's based on truth apparently.
Yeah. There was some competitor to The Onion that had a really funny satirical story the other day that fooled me from the headline to the first paragraph. It was about Michelle Bachmann starting a campaign against falafel in public school lunches, calling it jihadi foods. Yeah, it was pretty funny because it was believable at first until she started saying that falafel was a gateway drug to shawarma, and what's next. Then I was like, ah, okay, this is an Onion wannabe.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what else we got?
Stuff, man. Let's see.
Terry Garr. Well, Terry Garr is sexy, man.
Who's that?
Did you ever see Close Encounters of the Third Kind?
No. No.
Did you ever see Oh God?
Oh God?
No. She plays the bitchy, non-believing wife of the crazy husband who's not really crazy in both movies. I don't know. I'm weird, man. I think she's really sexy. I watched Close Encounters the other day, which is always fun because it takes place in Wyoming, a lot of it.
Okay. Oh, speaking of Wyoming, did they play that on the local news that there was a fire on a horse property that that the neighbors put out before the fire department could get there? It was like this big grass fire.
No.
And the neighbors all had water trucks and then just came and put it out. And fire trucks came through and filed some paperwork.
and sent him a bill, probably.
He sent him a bill.
You know, you're going to get shit for not having seen Close Encounters. Even though it's from the 70s.
I saw the part where they play the melody, and I had to play the melody in some video game.
But, it's basically aliens are landing, and the army takes over it, and they know they're going to let... They've been buzzing the Earth, buzzing America and buzzing the Earth, and they're going to land at Devil's Tower in Wyoming. And so they set up there to greet them and welcome them and communicate with them. But they evacuate like a 30 by 30 mile corner of Wyoming, and they do it. The government says that there's a leak of nerve gas from the army, and they go around and like kill livestock, shoot them to make people believe it, and actually spray nerve gas from a helicopter. And one line I really liked in it was when they're doing the evacuations, you hear one of the army guys saying to the other guy, "Man, it's really hard to get some of these old ranchers off the mountain here." Which it would be.
Yeah, it would be. They don't give a crap.
Whereas in
no
New Orleans,
bureaucrats.
They just say, "Here, go in the Superdome and get raped."
Superdorm. That's
okay,
funny.
The Superdorm. The Enormadorm.
The Enormadorm.
Yeah. Okay. So what's Dalton's show we're on tomorrow?
That show we're
Wednesday
on.
Wednesday night.
He told us. I'm supposed to know it.
Okay, that's worse than if I hadn't mentioned it. All right.
It is. Yeah, we should cut that out.
No, man. No editing.
We are excited.
I have it here. Untamed Tears. Wait, what is that?
That's not it.
That's not it. I don't know, man. Dalton has a cat that looks like my cat, Charlie, though.
Ah, here it is. Okay.
Yeah.
I just call it Dalton's Podcast.
Yeah, but
where the hell do we call it Dalton's Podcast?
It's also
going to
be
show?
The Anarchy Gumbo this Saturday.
Yes. We will kill two birds with one stone. And we will, even with that, we're still going to record four things together this week.
Yeah.
So.
Are we? Let's see. This one.
Isn't it?
Dalton's show. And then
Curry show. And that's... live show. And our Sunday. Fiends live Sunday.
Well, I'm not even thinking that far ahead yet.
Yep. Busy.
Well, you know, Dalton doesn't have his podcast listed on his... here it is. Decline to State FM. Decline to State is the show, and it's declinetostatefm.com.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Decline to State.
Yeah,
okay.
See, whereas I have it as my job description. I have my job description as Chief Anarchy Officer at Freedom Fiends.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, I think we're getting to a point where we could cut out a little early here and play this 3 minutes of audio that's going to make people go away because it's what the state has reduced cell phone recordings to.
Yep. And then you can think about how refreshing it is once you listen to us on our awesome mics again.
Yeah.
And you can look forward to that as soon as tomorrow night when we'll be on Dalton's show. Decline to State.
Default the state. I like Default the State.
And that'll be starting at 9 p.m. Central Time.
10 p.m. East Coast time.
8 p.m. Mountain, 10 p.m. East Coast.
Yeah. It's on my calendar et cetera. 8, but that's Wyoming, which is weird time. Yeah.
Wyoming's not weird. I grew up on the same time as Wyoming, man. That's not weird to me.
Where? Houston?
No, Mountain Time. Salt Lake City.
Yes. All right, man. Say worms, and then we'll play this horrible audio from this morning.
That shows
what's wrong with the state. Worms. Nima Vidati, what's up?
What's up, man? I'm just going through the ring roll here, trying to jump through all the state's hoops, man. State's stealing time from the Fiends here.
I know. We're doing something a little different. You're like between mechanics and the DMV or whatever they call it there and the butt searches and whatever you have to do to get your car registered. And I said, well, let's do an on-the-road cast here. So you're calling in from your crunchy little cell phone. Tell me what your morning's been like and what happened and how the state wants to cover your car's lady parts.
Yeah. Yeah, so the female end of my seatbelts, it used to have, you know, the plastic cover on that came with it. When it had that plastic cover on, the seatbelt wouldn't stay seated. So, you know, being kind of handy like I am, I realized if I took off the plastic cover, the seatbelt would actually work. And yay, I don't die in a wreck. Safe, right? You know, I lived in Wyoming and Washington for 4 years where you don't need this bullshit safety inspection. And so didn't think anything of it. Come back to Texas. And I need to get my driver's license, all that kind of stuff today, because I need it for a little part-time job I'm trying to get. And these fools failed me. Apparently there's a law that my lady parts, the female part of the seatbelt, needs to be covered. It can't be exposed. It needs to have the plastic casing over it. And of course mine don't, because they didn't work with the plastic casing, so I ripped it off. So mine is just, you know, the metal and the mechanism, which is fine. It's worked fine for 4 years. So I've been driving around. I'm at my third auto parts store now, looking for some kind of affordable, doable, option today to please the state.
Maybe you could just put like lingerie on it or something. Put a slip on it.
You there?
Yeah, I'm here. Maybe you could put lingerie on it or a slip or something.
You keep cutting in and out, man.
I said maybe you could put lingerie on it or a slip or something.
Huh?
Ah! This ain't gonna work, man.
Hello, Freedom Fiends. It's your boy Dean from the U.S. Get the U.S. out my bloodstream. I owe me and that includes endorphins. No one won't ask permission and I won't say please. Freedom fans, one fact that I gotta make clear.
The Freedom Fiends podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license. Do what you want with it and spread it around. Tell two friends. Make copies. Email it to everyone you know. Go on the site and comment. This is a conversation. Every week, we'll have an exciting new episode where Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadadi weave their own unique take on the way the world works and how to find your place in it. Available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Freedom Fiends is proudly syndicated by Alterati.com, the Liberty Radio Network, and No Agenda Global Radio.
Subscribe and tell two friends.
And remember, the only power they have is the power you allow them. We're not saying the Freedom Fiends are the one true path to anarchist liberation, but it's a good one. If you want to put your voluntarist money where your mouth is, consider making a donation to the Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post. Then make a one-time gift via PayPal or set up a monthly contribution of as little as $3. Giving to the Freedom Fiends helps advance education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. The Freedom Fiends. We work hard, so send us some money.